Juries are under threat from the left. The latest attack came from Anne Coffey, the Labour MP for Stockport, who believes that we should consider abolishing juries in rape cases. A few months ago, the tax barrister, Jolyon Maugham QC, no friend of the current Labour leadership, but something of a weather vane for more moderate left-wing thinking, floated the same idea. Ms. Coffey's argument, and Mr. Maugham's, was similar. It is that juries view evidence through the lens of prevailing stereotypes shared with the wider community. As a result, she says, with possibly unintended bathos, the most common cause of unsuccessful prosecutions in rape prosecutions is jury acquittal. She makes various suggestions. One is that jurors in rape cases should be vetted for preconceived bias. Another is that they should be abolished altogether. It is now almost an article of faith amongst some that whenever anyone is acquitted of a sexual offence, rape myths are to blame. Ms. Coffey dutifully trots out some of them. A woman who is drunk a lot cannot complain if she is raped. It is rape only if someone has injuries. Real rapes are done by strangers in alleyways. Rape is a crime of passion. Or women invite rape by what they wear. Defence lawyers, says Ms. Coffey, play up these myths in an attempt to rubbish the character of the witness. Yet, if ever there was a rape myth, it is this. Defence lawyers are not allowed simply to rubbish the character of the witness. Specific and relevant instances of reprehensible behaviour can sometimes, with the permission of the judge, be put to witnesses, but if advocates attempt to rubbish the character of the witness, one of at least three things will almost certainly happen. First, they'll be stopped from doing so, probably very sharply, by the judge. Then their own client's bad character will become fair game for the prosecution. And the jury will turn against them. Jurors tend to hate bullying advocates, a fact drummed into young barristers throughout their training. It is challenging for jurors, says Ms. Coffey, to judge whether the defendant had a reasonable belief that consent was given, especially when drink was involved. That is where myths and stereotypes kick in. Challenging it may be, but asking questions about what a complainant was drinking immediately before an alleged rape are often entirely proper. Someone who is insensible cannot lawfully consent, but someone who is simply drunk may just be less inhibited and thus more willing to consent than they would be if they were sober. Where consent, or for that matter memory, is an issue, asking questions about a complainant's intoxication is not exploiting a rape myth. It may well be an essential professional duty. Curiously enough, no one ever objects when the prosecutor puts it to a defendant that he might have acted out of character because of his intoxication. Some other rape myths are straw men. Surely only a very few people believe that the absence of injuries necessarily indicates consent, or that real rapes only happen in dark alleys. Of course, any jury is likely to contain a mixture of those temperamentally inclined to believe complainants and those more inclined to give the benefit of the doubt to defendants. Jury vetting, intended to weed out the latter in order to leave the former, that is, to leave people with prejudices like Miss Coffey's, would no doubt increase conviction rates, although it would do so by the conscious creation of biased juries. That is something that even the currently supine guardians of human rights in Strasbourg might consider rather unfair. And though Miss Coffey does not like to admit it, I'm afraid she does have prejudices. She asserts, indeed it's a pretty important part of her argument, that the CPS asserted in 2012 that only 3% of the 1,149 cases heard may have been malicious. The implication seems to be that 97% of rape cases heard are genuine. But in fact, the research to which she makes reference, most of which was conducted in 2008 or 2009, did not refer to 1,149 rape cases heard in court. It was a far more general study about attrition in the criminal justice system. Only 299 of the 1,149 cases examined were rapes anyway, and 558 were non-sexual allegations of causing grievous bodily harm. The study looked at the many different reasons why allegations, both sexual and non-sexual, do not result invariably in arrest, a charge, or a conviction. The 3% malicious estimate is simply the lowest among many estimates of a figure that is itself unknowable and which the research itself was not investigating anyway. Even as an attempt at cherry-picking, Ms. Coffey's use of it is pretty abysmal. Misleading statistics, often based on misunderstood or misquoted surveys, are, I'm afraid, the stock in trade of those who want to undermine the jury system. Unless robustly called out, a tiring and time-consuming business, they become rape myths at least as pernicious as any other. Once you swallow the prejudice that there is only a 3% chance that a rape defendant is innocent, you have already reversed the burden of proof. The purpose of a rape trial then becomes not to decide guilt or innocence, but simply to process the guilty 97%, with perhaps a rare let-out where a defendant is able positively to prove his innocence beyond the reasonable doubt of a deliberately biased tribunal. A future Labour government may be very receptive to the abolition of juries in rape cases. It will be taken up by many on the left as a progressive measure to help rape victims, while, because jury trials are more expensive than judge-only trials, it will be enthusiastically implemented by a civil service long inclined to seeing juries, and even legal representation itself, as a dispensable luxury. Once rape juries have gone, juries in all other cases will not be far behind. After all, if a judge alone, or worse still, a judge sitting with right-thinking assessors, is deemed appropriate for a crime as serious as rape, why retain it for lesser crimes like theft or ABH? And if juries can't be trusted to decide issues of consent, the very stuff of everyday life, then why should they be trusted to decide cases which turn on, say, scientific or accountancy evidence? Ms. Coffey's proposal, well intended though it may be, is very dangerous indeed.